Jordan. Jordan Jones. Come on, sweetheart.
Good morning.
Everybody hear me okay?
All right, very good. Welcome to St. Mark's Lutheran Church. Another beautiful day. Check it out. Beautiful day to praise God. Today is the start of the greatest week of the year, Holy Week. There's a reason it's called Holy Week, and there's a reason it starts out with Palm Sunday and why God brings us here to celebrate and rejoice. And we'll celebrate that today. Who is it that enters Jerusalem? That's what we'll look at today, and we'll see that revealed through Scripture and through our hymns. Our service today will begin with a hymn called Ride On in Majesty, setting the perfect tone for worship today. God bless your worship.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. We praise you, O God, for the great acts of love by which you redeemed us through your Son, Jesus Christ. As he was acclaimed by those who scattered their garments and branches of palm in his path, so may we always hail him as our King and follow him with perfect confidence, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The first lesson for today, very fitting as we go to Zechariah chapter 9, where we see a prophecy over 500 years before Jesus rode into Jerusalem. Listen to what the coming king means. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you. Righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
can't explain why a king would lay aside his crown to save someone like me. I can't explain why a lamb would sacrifice himself to set a sinner free. If I searched the whole world over and saw all that I could see, I could never explain the Savior's love for me. I can't explain how the one who formed the universe could come and be born a man. I can't explain how a heart can be completely changed by the touch of a nail-scarred hand. I don't understand his mercy for a wandering soul in need. I could never explain the Savior's love for me. Oh, the depths of his compassion and the wonders of his grace. I rejoice in his salvation, and I marvel at his ways. I can't explain how a man who lived a perfect life could bear all my sin and shame. I can't explain how a life is made completely new by the power of Jesus' name. I can't comprehend his suffering or his death on Calvary. I could never explain the Savior's love for me. For me, I could never explain the Savior's love for me, his love for me.
We can't explain our Savior's love, especially when we consider who he is as he rides into Jerusalem and what's going to happen that week. And yet Paul explains it to us. This is the God-man who came to save us. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of the Lord. The gospel lesson for this morning comes from Mark chapter 11, Mark's account of the triumphal entry. Notice especially what the people say as Jesus comes in. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you. And just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here shortly. They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at the doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, what are you doing untying that colt? They answered, as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven. The gospel of the Lord. We now confess our faith publicly and together in what our King has done for us according to the words of an ancient creed called the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our hymn of the day,
All Glory, Laud, and Honor.
Thank you.
God's grace and God's peace are yours, brothers and sisters, thanks to Jesus Christ, our King. Amen. The sermon text for today comes from the first lesson in Zechariah chapter 9. If you'd like to follow along, let's begin with prayer. O Lord, open our minds and our hearts to your scriptures, that we may understand who our King is and what he's done for us. Amen. You know, there are a lot of pictorial words in the English language. You know what I mean? Words that convey a certain meaning as they paint a picture for you. And oftentimes it really helps when there's a big, deep emotion that's connected to these words. So for example, the word browbeaten. You heard that one? When someone's browbeaten, they've been intimidated or they've been bullied. And it's not physically, obviously, beating you with their brow or beating your brow, but figuratively, it brings with it that emotion of being frustrated by that, being coerced. Another example, crestfallen. You heard that one? Brings with it the idea of sadness or disappointment. It's the picture of a bird or a horse as they lower their head and reveal their crest, so to speak. Crestfallen. Well, another pictorial word is downtrodden. Downtrodden brings with it the idea of being stepped on. And it's a word that means oppressed, and especially the emotions that are connected with that. When you're oppressed by something, you're sad and you're frustrated. You and I know that word well. We know that emotion well. Downtrodden. We have various enemies and various things that try to oppress us and plague us and make us feel sad, melancholy. Well, Palm Sunday is meant to reverse all of that. God brings us to another Palm Sunday where we can do the opposite now. We can rejoice as he proclaims something to us that he predicted 500 years before. God proclaims to us, don't be downtrodden. Instead, look where your King came down and trod. Now, when you look at the nation of Israel in Zechariah's day, you can understand why they'd be downtrodden. They were a nation that had such great heights with David and Solomon, and yet now look at them. All of their history, they had been entangled with sin. Eventually, the nation split. They had wicked kings lead them away from God, even denying God. In punishment as threatened, God, sure enough, tread upon them, so to speak. He wiped out the northern kingdom, took the southern kingdom into exile, and there they were, embarrassed, ashamed of their national sins, their personal sins. They were downtrodden. But it wasn't done. They had still had to be brought back to Jerusalem graciously, and they started to rebuild the temple gloriously, and then, again, tread upon by some more enemies, and they gave in to pressure. They stopped building the temple, and there it sat, unfinished. What an embarrassment. How ashamed they must have been that they had backslid. Now, what would God do with them? Would he continue to tread upon them? Someday would he toss them in the winepress of his wrath and tread upon them forever? They were downtrodden. We can relate. We too can look out at our nation, so to speak, our Christianity, and see us being tread upon by many enemies. The world tries to get us to follow gods and false teachings and idols, and many of our brothers and sisters sadly give in. They give in to these false teachings, and life seems easier for them while you and I who hold to them, well, we get tread upon. But it's not just out there. Where we can really relate is in here. You and I can be tread upon by our temptations. The devil can really defeat us and win the battle, and then we sit there embarrassed and ashamed. And that treads upon us over and over again daily. We too can sit there and wonder, are we going to be tossed into the winepress of God's wrath and tread upon forever? We too can be downtrodden. And yet the words of Zechariah wash over us with a hope that must have washed over the people in his day. God brings us here to the gates of Jerusalem as we see this prophecy fulfilled on Palm Sunday, where now we get to do the opposite of be downtrodden. Instead, now we can do something else. We can see something else, and we want to hear something very important. What is it that God proclaims to us through his prophet Zechariah that we see Jesus fulfill? Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Look at your king and rejoice. Here he is. He comes to you. This message must have just washed over the people in Zechariah's day. They wouldn't have to worry about their wicked kings anymore that would lead them astray. No, this one would be a righteous king. We get tired of crooked politicians and leaders. Imagine the kings in the world today and throughout history that have led their people astray in their wickedness. Especially think of what they've done to their people spiritually. But this king would not be like that. No, he would be righteous. And not just that, victorious. You can be a well-intentioned king all you want, but if you don't have the power and effectiveness to win those battles and be victorious for your people, then it's all for naught. But this king was different. So rejoice, daughter Zion, God says. Here he is. And there Jesus rode into Jerusalem, just as they said, righteous and victorious. Righteous, this king for them would do everything right. He wouldn't be like their wicked kings. He would follow God's decrees and commandments exactly like you would want a king to do. This king would be victorious. He would take on their enemies, Satan, sin, death, and he would win. You and I, though, when we hear this, righteous and victorious, can actually be filled with a little bit of fear, too. We know deep down we have not always been on the side of righteousness and goodness. So when this king comes to us, how will he come to us? Will he come to us mighty and ready for battle and tread upon us and dash us to pieces? Well, no. Look at how else God describes him. Lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. When you'd expect a righteous, victorious king to come to you, you'd expect him to come on what? A huge, mighty horse, powerful, maybe even given armor and weapons galore, and yet here he comes on a donkey? A common beast of burden? This wasn't a war animal. This was an animal that was meant to be in the field. And yet, he came on a donkey. And not just a donkey, the foal of a donkey, an untrained one. This is not a king who comes to dash you to pieces. This is a king who has humbled himself and comes to you gently. This is a king who comes to you with caring and compassion. Don't be downtrodden, Zion. Rejoice at the king and how he comes to you. And sure enough, there he came, marching into Jerusalem, making sure to ride on a donkey. Why? Because he was pointing to this exact prophecy. And did the people know it? Absolutely they knew it. They were shouting just as Zechariah had told them to do. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The Son of David is here. Here he is, the righteous king. The one who would be the lamb without blemish or defect. The one who had followed all of God's commandments, who trod where we trod and failed. He trod perfectly. Here he is, the victorious king, come to take on all the enemies that we can't face, all of the enemies that defeat us time and again. He came to be victorious over them. By the end of the week, that would be clear. Here he is, the lowly, humble king. The one who would go down deep, deep down to the depths of hell on the cross in 5 days. Talk about downtrodden. Or sure enough, Jesus was sent to the winepress of God's wrath to be tread upon so that you and I would not be. Here is your king, daughter Zion. Don't be downtrodden. Quite the opposite. Rejoice. Shout for joy. And yet still we struggle. If you're like me, this is not your first Palm Sunday. This is not the first time we've been told to rejoice. And yet still, every single day, we can have these doubts and these fears. We can question, does God actually care about me with everything that I've done to him? I'm supposed to be one of his people. Does Jesus' work actually count for me? Am I in his kingdom? And that's why God brings you again to Zechariah, where you can not just see your Savior and how he comes to you, but also listen to your Savior and what he proclaims to you. And listen also to whom he proclaims it. It says, I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. No chariots, no war horses, no battle bow. What's that a picture of? Peace. Complete peace. And who is he talking to? Did you catch it? Ephraim and Jerusalem. What is Ephraim? Well, in this kingdom split, the biggest tribe in the northern kingdom was Ephraim. And that tribe and that kingdom actually became called Ephraim a lot. This was the tribe that had no good kings, that completely wiped out. God took them away, never for them to return. In their place settled the Samaritans, as we hear in Jesus' day. And then think Jerusalem, the capital city of the southern kingdom. What had they done? They were carted off into exile, came back, and failed to build the temple. Neither of these kingdoms deserved anything from God. They did not deserve this king. And yet here, God proclaims to them peace. This is a gracious gift of peace from God their Savior. And it wasn't just for them. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. We know Israel didn't deserve it. We hear that in the Old Testament. Other nations, we know they don't deserve it either, with pagan gods and false idols. And yet here the king comes to proclaim peace to them as well. From sea to sea, all the nations, from the ends of the earth, the river to the ends of the earth, that's the Euphrates, all the way to the ends. This is a peace that God proclaims to all. This is a peace that leaves no one out. And you can see exactly that at work in 1 week from where Jesus enters Jerusalem. What's the very first thing he proclaims to his disciples on Easter Sunday? This was a group of men who had scattered when their shepherd was struck. Peter denied him thrice. They were in fear in the upper room. And yet Jesus comes to them and says, peace be with you, even to them. God's peace is to all nations, to all people. Brothers, sisters, that includes you. Are you among the nations? Are you within the ends of the earth? Yes, you are. God proclaims this peace to you. That means you don't have to be in fear. You don't have to be tread upon by your embarrassment and your shame as you approach God. No, he forgives you. You have peace with him. Lift your life out of the mud and the muck and take a breath in that peace. This is a peace that means you can come to him now in prayer. You don't have to try to approach him and wonder, you know, in fear, is God going to listen to me for my prayers for guidance, for protection, for blessing, for healing, for clarity? No, you don't have to fear. Come to him freely and confidently because he is your father and you are his child. Lift your life and your heart out of the mud and the muck and live in that peace. This is a peace now that you can live in every single day. You don't have to worry about being in the fear of earning anything and the burden that comes with that, tread upon by all of that worry. Nope, all of that has been done for you when your Savior stooped down to give this to you. Lift your life out of the mud and the muck and now live in peace. Shout for joy in everything you do to your Savior King. Downtrodden. Very pictorial word. Comes with a lot of emotion attached to it. But thanks to Jesus, something we don't have to experience. We don't have to be downtrodden. Instead, we can look at where our King came down and trod. And this week we will. Follow him this week as he takes you to the upper room and what he offers on Maundy Thursday. Follow him to the hill on Golgotha, where he offers to you forgiveness and peace. Follow him to the proof, 3 days later, the empty tomb. Brothers and sisters, this is a week where we can rejoice. Look at where your King came and trod. Amen. May God guard your minds and your hearts in that peace that he gives to you through Jesus. Amen. We now join together to sing a prayer to God in reflection of his word, Create in Me. We thank you for your continued thank offerings as we bring this message of peace out to the communities around Citrus Heights. You can submit those there on the table, also online. You can find the QR code to that at the end of the bulletin. We now join together in the prayer of the church in one mind and one heart. I will say the prayer on behalf of the congregation. If you'd like to follow along, if you find that easier, you can find the words printed for you on page 11. We pray. Lord Jesus, you are the King of heaven and earth. We join the first Palm Sunday worshipers in praising and glorifying you for coming to this earth to be our Savior. Though you are one with God the Father and Lord of all, you humbled yourself and became one with us. Thanks be to you for living a life of perfect conformity to God's holy law in our place. Praise be to you for being obedient to death, even death on a cross, to redeem us from sin. Cause our voices to blend with those who sang your praises as you rode into Jerusalem. Move us to confess you before others as our Lord. Help us proclaim the message of peace and forgiveness to people of all nations. Use us to assure all people that your blood has cleansed them from sin and set them free from slavery to sin, death, and the devil. Move us to dedicate all we are and have to your glory. Lord Jesus, you are the King over all the earth. Bless the nations of this world with wise rulers and good government. Let peace prevail. Grant success to the businesses and industries of our land to serve for the common good. Cause all employers to be honest and fair-minded, and all employees to be diligent and faithful. Look with favor on our nation's schools. Be with those who teach and those who learn. Comfort the sick and the afflicted with the assurance of your care and protections. Strengthen the faith of the dying. King of Glory, please help everyone faced with health challenges this week, including Pamela Baker's brother Paul and Steve Ennis's sister Susan. Make your power known in their lives, their families' lives, and through their doctors and nurses. Lift their spirits with your peace and your resurrection and your guidance of all things for their good. Continue to bless all of those who are celebrating birthdays. Give them many more years to grow in knowledge of you so they can continue to glorify you in thought, word, and deed. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Dear Savior, as we walk with you this week toward Calvary, keep us focused on your purpose for coming into this world and on our calling to spread this wonderful message of salvation. Hear us for your mercy's sake.
Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Join together in our next hymn, My Song is Love Unknown.
We pray. Blessed Lord, you have given us your holy scriptures for our learning. May we so hear them, read, learn, and take them to heart, that being strengthened and comforted by your holy word, we may cling to the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. Our closing hymn, Hosanna, Loud Hosanna.
Good morning again. Blessed Palm Sunday to you. What a great way that God has given us to start Holy Week and look forward to what happens later on. A few announcements for you. A big welcome to the visitors today. If you get a chance and you'd like to connect with St. Mark's, we'd like to connect with you. We have an online connection card right now. You can find that on our website under the Connect tab, online connection card. Bible study was at 9:15 this morning. If you get a chance, that's recorded and online. You can find the handouts for that in a couple of different places on our website. Sunday school is continuing online for now. If you need those materials, we've got some extras in the office. There's also videos that you can watch online to go with that. Just a note on Sunday school, we're shooting for a May 9th return to get back into in-person Sunday school. So we'll try to distance as best as we can and whatnot, but we are going to plan on doing what we were doing before COVID began when it comes to Sunday school. 20s, 30s Bible study is this evening at 5 p.m. We're going to go in person with that tonight. We're going to go at the playground. We'll distance. We'll let the kids play on the playground as we study there. Bring your chairs if you get a chance, and we'll find that kind of right down there by the playground on the other side of the gym, the classroom buildings. Teen study is tonight at 7 p.m. That's also online. If you get a chance to come to that, teens, or know of any teens that might be interested, contact Mike Roush or myself, and we can get you the link for that. A big thank you, first of all, to those who helped out with the food drive, who brought food donations. We had a whole truckload that we brought to a local food bank here, getting ready for the Easter season, and that was a blessed thing. So thank you very much for that. A big thank you also to the AV crew and helping us out here with our Food Truck Friday. Food Truck Friday, if you didn't know, we brought a couple of food trucks in this past Friday. It was the second time that we did it. We played a big old movie here on a projection screen. The AV crew worked very hard on that, and it all worked really, really well. They said it was really boring when everything worked really well. But we praise God for their work on that. The first Food Truck Friday, probably 150. This last one, 100, 125, maybe somewhere in there. So bringing people to St. Mark's campus and a lot of visitors. Had even a few people asking about school. Holy Week schedule, here it is. Are you ready? Maundy, Thursday, 7 p.m. inside with communion. 7 p.m. Maundy, Thursday. Good Friday, 1 o'clock and 7 p.m. So 1 p.m., 7 p.m. in person here in the church. On Saturday, the next day, we have our Easter egg hunt. We're bringing that back this year. We have an online registration right now, and we have over 100 kids signed up already, which is crazy to think about. And most of those, and I'm not joking, most of those kids, I don't even know who they are. I've never heard of their parents either in the registration. So we're going to have a lot of visitors. God be praised. Side note, if you want to help out with Easter egg hunt, please contact myself or Jen Breitkreutz. We'd love some extra help for that. It starts at 10:45, and there will be a kind of a picnic lunch ready for you right around noon, 11:45 or noon after the hunt. The next day, Easter Sunday, 7 o'clock a.m. indoor, 9 o'clock a.m. indoor, 10:45 outdoor. 10:45 on Easter Sunday. So Easter Sunday, we're actually going to go back to 10:45, and we'll keep it there for going into the future. And that'll be outdoor. A note on that as well, when it comes to outdoor worship, is the Board of Elders discussed it, and we decided that we would do the fourth Sunday from here on out on Easter and moving forward there. Fourth Sunday, we would do an outdoor worship between September and May, as the weather allows. Got that? Everyone understand that one? Otherwise, it would be indoor the other weeks. As for some more prayers, as Pastor Colander announced last week, I've received a call to serve as a pastor of St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Bangor, Wisconsin. Prayers very much appreciated for myself and for my family as we deliberate. If you also have any input or insight, we'd love to hear that as well as we try to make a good decision, all to God's glory. Speaking of that glory, we have a great week ahead of us, brothers and sisters. May He bless your week as you celebrate and rejoice in your King. Don't be downtrodden this week. It's not a week for that. God's blessings on your week. Please stick around to greet one another. Thank you.
Thank you.